Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
What's going on, River? What's going on? Excited to be here, honored to be here. So excited for all that God is doing through the River. Remain standing with me for just one moment. Sorry, I got to just give some honor where honor is due. I just want to take a moment, honor your pastors, Pastor Ryan and Lindsay. Can we just give it up? As Ryan said, they're our closest friends, my wife and I, Kristen. They're the people that we run to. They're the ones that we can call at any hour of the day. They're the ones that are the parents to our daughter's favorite playdate partner, Mav. So we're grateful for you guys as friends. And of course, are just blown away with how much God has used you to impact not just this room, not just this region, but this country. And as we know, to the ends of the earth. Because what God has done through this house and through this ministry is having an impact worldwide, and it's only just beginning. And so honored to be on this journey with you, honored to be a faithful supporter, and grateful for you guys and your whole family. We honor all of you guys, and thank you for this. So let's give it up one more time. We love you guys. You guys could grab a seat. I'm going to introduce my family as well. I think we have a photo on here. We just got our pictures back. We just did a little fall photo shoot. So this is very current. This is great. That's my beautiful wife. She's standing right here. Love of my life, Kristen. I met her at church, okay? So you need to get to church. You can meet your spouse. I just want to give that shout out, all right? You all right? So met her at church. That's my beautiful daughter, Grace, little angel, and then my little boy, Dallas. He's walking now, so we're in trouble. We're in trouble, but that's my family. I love them so much, and yeah, they're awesome. So I want to dive into this scripture today. We're just going to jump right in here. Daniel 6. Okay, we're going to be talking about something very familiar, one of my daughter's favorite Bible stories that I like to read her, Daniel in the Lion's Den. Okay, very popular. Daniel 6, 3-7, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to found grounds and charges against Daniel for his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So these administrators and satraps went to as a group to the king and say, 'May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, governors, pretty much like anybody in government at this point, have all agreed that this king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den.'" I'm going to jump down to verse 10. "Now, when Daniel learned that this decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Are you serious, Daniel? That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. Just as he had done before, he continued to pray, even though there was a death threat against him if he were to do so. That's pretty bold. So I need you to help me announce my sermon title to your neighbor, give him a little shove, and say, "Bold move. Bold move." That's a pretty bold move, Daniel. You're going to continue to pray, even though it's a death sentence. Now, a little kind of backstory about myself. I grew up in the GTA, other side of the city, though, Brampton, born and raised over there. if we have any Brampton people in the house. Born and raised over there, and then as every Canadian dreams, or at least, I don't know, I dreamed of, escaping this winter. So for 4 years in university, I escaped the winter, went down to the States for university, and while I was down there, was really kind of a pivotal time in my life. Went down into university, and for the first few years, just kind of doing my thing, you know, not really going to church at that time, and just kind of finding myself slowly drift further and further away from God. And it was between that third and fourth year university where God really kind of gripped my heart and started to speak to me and say, hey, you need to come running back to me. And I really started to realize that being a Christian and this faith that I had grown up knowing about, learning about, being faithful in, wasn't just for me just to get to heaven one day when I die. I don't think that's what we're meant to be on this earth for, is just to like someday wander around and find, oh, I found Jesus, let me begin a relationship with him, and then fast forward and I die and go to heaven. I think there's more to life than that, and this is kind of the season I found myself in, to really start taking my faith serious. And I say, okay, how can I get plugged into a local church down here? How can I get connected? And so I started getting connected to this local church where I was at. Started going to the young adults program and met this young adult leader that was there. His name was Rob Beswetherick. Still remember his name. And he was just like asking me, hey, how you doing? What's going on? I see you're new here. I'm like, yeah, you know, go to university over here. And started telling him some story. He's like, oh, I'd love to grab lunch sometime. And so we ended up going out to lunch. I had my very first Chipotle experience, okay? The first time I ever been to Chipotle, he took me there. And I just got to take a praise break section right here because we finally got a Chipotle out here in Whippy, all right? Can we just give God some praise for that? Finally some Chipotle in the East End, all right. But that was my first ever experience. If you haven't been yet, you'll remember it too. It was a great, great time. And during this lunch, this young adult pastor was just kept calling out potential in me. Hey, Stephen, like, you're at this university. I hear that's a dark place. I hear there's a big, it's like a big party school. I hear that all these things are going on. Man, you could be a light over there. You could do great things for God. You could make a difference. You could be inviting people out to church. You could be a light in the darkness. He just started hyping me up. He just started saying, man, God has so much potential on your life. God has so much in store for you. And it was great. You know, I had that Chipotle. I walked out of there, drove back to my university, and I was on fire. I was hyped up. I was like fueled up. I was ready to go. And you know what I did with it? Absolutely nothing. Just absolutely nothing. And it's so interesting because I started to think about this afterwards. I started to think, like, man, why didn't I do anything with that? This is someone that showed some belief in me, saw some potential that I didn't see in myself, and I started to think, man, why did I do nothing with that? There were so many opportunities to do something, but I just wasted it. I just squandered it. And as I started to reflect, I started to realize that I think there was just deep down this voice inside me that said, that's not you. You're not that bold Christian kind of guy. You're like the shy guy in school. That's not you. You know, you're not this guy that's trying to be a preacher or a pastor. And then at that point, God's like, joke's on you. It's coming. I just had this voice inside me that said, that's not you. And what ended up just being kind of like a wasted opportunity, I think fueled so much more in my life later on when I started to realize, man, if I was just bold at that time, what could I have done? Man, there could have been like some young adult revival happening in that university. We could have had, even if it was just one person coming to church and giving their lives to Christ, man, that would have been amazing. But in this story of Daniel, I think that's why I'm so inspired by him, is that this decree went out, and he didn't back down. He didn't consider. He didn't, like, wait around. If the opportunity's right. No, he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to do exactly what I continue to do, and I'm going to pray in front of those windows, and I don't care who's going to see me, but I'm going to continue to do this. And so he continued to do that. He continued to do that. But one thing that I realized in my life, when I was at that season of my life and I didn't think that I had what God was calling out of me in me, I started to realize that God doesn't give you opportunities based on your current circumstance, but based on your future potential. Okay, he doesn't call you to do things based on your current circumstance in life, but based on the future potential, because I believe he's put more potential inside of you than you'll ever be able to realize. Like, he is such a generous God. There is more inside of you you'll ever be able to realize on this side of earth, on this side of heaven. He's given you so, so much. And so I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful that even though Daniel was facing this death sentence, like literal death, he could have died, literally, he still said, I don't care, I'm going to continue to serve my God. I'm going to continue to do that. And I wonder for you and I, you know, we don't have a death sentence for sharing our faith in this country. You know, our lives aren't on the line like it was for Daniel. And I started to consider, hey, well, then what's keeping us back? What's holding us back? And although our lives may not be on the line, maybe our reputation is. You know, maybe we're in danger for being called the Christian kid at school. Maybe we're in danger of losing a little favor with the boss when they're asking us to cut a corner and we try to stay true with our integrity. You know, maybe our reputation and our social status is in danger because our ego is going to get hit a little bit. I think there's some things that kind of hold us back from being truly bold in our faith. But I believe that this isn't what God wants for us. I believe God wants us to take a bold step of faith. I believe that being bold in your faith isn't just standing up here on a platform and preaching the gospel or standing on a street corner with a megaphone. I believe it's simple little things like having integrity at work. That's being bold about your faith. It's saying, hey, I'm not going to participate in the gossip. I hear what's going on. I'm just going to walk out of the room. You know, it's having these little things and doing these little things that, you know, just prioritizing the right thing. Say, hey, I'm not going to Sunday brunch. I got church. You know, it's these things that we can do to be bold about our faith that are simple, that are in our everyday life. Man, what would happen in our families if we could just be a little bit more bold in our faith? What could happen in this room at the river if we could all just be a little bit more bold about our faith? What if we actually took these little invites that we're getting on the way out? All right, you're getting two. Some of you need like two per day. You got so many people far from God in your life, you got to get two per day, okay? What would it look like if we were just bold about our faith and got rid of these this week and invited people out? Man, what would this room look like next week? Man, what would it look like in this country if we could just be bold, a little bit more bolder in our faith? I believe that there's some of us in this room that God's changed your life through this ministry. God's spoken to you in this room. God's done something in your life, but you have friends that don't even know you're a Christian yet. You're kind of still living this double life, and you're coming here every Tuesday night, and you're having an amazing time, and then the rest of the week's just kind of the rest of the week. Man, this is an opportunity to just start being bold about your faith and say, hey, I'm tired of living this double life. I'm tired of hiding my faith. Man, I want to let my light shine. I want to encourage you to be a little bit more bolder in your faith. Just like Daniel was, he said, I'm going to open up these windows. I'm going to continue to pray no matter what. And so I'm going to give you a few points that you can write down. You may not need them tonight, but I encourage you to write down, because Thursday when that coworker starts acting up, you might need this. All right, you might need this. All right. Point number one, open up a window. Open up a window. I think if Daniel was just there and called to just serve the king, but didn't have a deep conviction for his God in his heart, I think things would have looked a lot different when that edict went out. When that law was passed, I think Daniel could have done a number of things. You know, I think a lot of us would have been like, all right, 30 days no praying, I'm just going to go into the prayer closet. You know, it's just not by the window anymore. We're just moving into the prayer closet for the next 30 days. I think a lot of us probably could have even justified like, all right, 30 days no prayer, that's fine. You know, I'll still read my Bible. I'll still live, you know, Christian. You know, I'll just do my thing. But it's only 30 days. You know, God knows my heart. No, I don't, you know. But hold on. Can we just talk about God knows my heart for a little bit? Because I don't really need to actually go and forgive that person. God knows my heart. You know, I don't actually need to go to church. God knows my heart. God, I don't actually need to go and do the things I'm new. No. It's not about God knowing your heart. It's about us knowing God's heart. We need to know what God's heart is and align ours with his. He's the one we need to know, because our heart is diseased. It needs to change. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be purified to be more like Christ's. We need to do the things that maybe our heart doesn't want us to do sometimes, but we need to do the thing that God wants us to. And so Daniel said, no, it's not the prayer closet. It's not no prayer. I'm going to continue to do what I know I need to do. I'm going to continue to be bold in my faith. I'm going to continue to pray. And so the other, earlier on in the summertime, I was driving home from work and driving on these beautifully packed highways that we have over here in the GTA, you know, those 400 series highways that are just, you know, you get to make eye contact with the people that you're driving beside because you're going so slow at all times. But anyways, it was earlier in the summertime. Rest in peace to the summer, unfortunately, right now. But earlier on in the summertime, we're out there. I'm driving home from work, and I got the windows down because it's beautiful outside, and I had my music blasting. It's probably why we keep it loud here. And at my job, I don't want to hear myself sing, so I like to keep the music loud, you know? So I got the music blasting. I got this new Elevation Rhythm album that they just released on, and so I'm just like, I'm just doing my thing, worshiping God, okay? I'm just dancing like David, you know, a little undignified, a little like just kind of not, I don't want anyone to video me. Let me just say that. I have my hands in the air, worship. Oh, hold on, there may be some officers. One hand on the wheel, one hand in the air. You know, I'll just do what I can, worshiping God. And I started to look around and started to realize not only did I have my windows down, but a few other cars had their windows down. And a few other drivers were looking in my direction as I'm worshiping my God. And I started to have that little voice creep up again. Turn down your music, Stephen. Don't be obnoxious. You don't need to be that bold about your faith. You don't need to, you know, just let everyone else hear your music. And honestly, there's been times where I've turned that music down and I've said, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I need to just, let me just keep it within the walls of this car. But I don't know if it was like a glimpse in the rearview mirror where I saw my, you know, bumper sticker with the church on it. And I was like, oh, man, I was bold enough to put my church name on the back of my car. And I just started to think, you know what? This is the God who saved me. This is the God that has seen me through my darkest days. This is the God that has come to me in my darkest hour. I'm not going to turn down my praise to him. I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to continue to worship my God. I'm going to continue to give him the glory that he deserves. I don't care who hears it. They probably need to hear it on that 400 series highway. I'm going to continue to praise my God like he deserves. And I wanted to continue to do that. And I think we need to continue to take those opportunities to continue to praise our God. And I wonder for you, one thing that I realized was that when your window is down, not only can you see out, but others can see in. And I wonder what windows you have for people to see into your life. What windows you have open for people to see your faith journey. What windows you have open for people to even know that you're a Christian. If I'm walking alongside you, do I even know that you're a child of God? What windows are you giving people into your faith journey? Here, I'm gonna give you a few easy ones that you can jump on. Number one, just praying at a restaurant before the food comes. Taking a moment, holding hands, saying a little prayer before the food comes. Easy window of opportunity for people to see your faith. And don't worry, if the food comes and the waiter's waiting, that's literally in their job description. Wait, or they can wait. It's okay. They can wait for the prayer to be done. It's fine. You're going to tip big anyways because you're a Christian. We're generous people. Our God was the most generous, so we're going to be generous too. So don't worry about that. They can wait. This is like a layup opportunity. When your coworker tomorrow asks you, hey, what was going on last night? What were you doing? I was at the river. You should come on out. Hey, here's the invitation. Here you go. Come on out. Invitation Tuesday next week. Easy layup opportunity. The river merch, okay, we talked about it earlier. Some fire merch right now, okay? You got to go out there. If it's not sold out, you got to go out there and get some merch. You don't even need to say anything. Just wear it. People will ask you about it. It's like an easy invitation. You don't need to do anything. It automatically invites it. Shout out to my wife. She was wearing a river crew neck last summer, and we were just at the grocery store, and some lady came up to her, hey, this is the river. What's that all about? We got to talk about it. We got to share with her. Ended up talking to her about the river, talking to her about church. She started coming out. Her boyfriend at the time ended up coming out. He had his life radically changed. Now, I ended up officiating their wedding earlier this year. Like, it's just, you never know. Through just one merch item, okay? Just one merch item. Wear that merch and go get it out there in the lobby. Another opportunity to open up a window. Some of you just need to take your headphones off, okay? Let that music just fill your house. There's some of your family members need to hear the worship that you have that's playing. I know we're still waiting on that River Worship album. It's coming. But some of you need people in your life to hear the worship that you're worshiping to. So those are just some few windows of opportunity. Daniel literally opened up this window. He literally opened it up and he prayed. And I think sometimes it's easy to do, because sometimes you get these people and they're like so into it. This lady that's asking about the river sweater, and it's great. That's not always going to be the case, though. I want to be very true, very transparent. There's going to be some people that they want what you have, but they don't know how to get what you have, and they don't understand it, and they're just kind of some resistance. And there's going to be some people, just like in Daniel's case, where these people literally tried to kill Daniel because they didn't understand it, and they didn't understand what they wanted and what the truth is. And so Daniel eventually got thrown into this lion's den, even though the king, King Darius at the time, didn't want Daniel to be thrown in. He actually showed favor to Daniel, but got caught in this trap that he ended up having to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And so when he threw him into the lion's den, it says in scripture that, you know, King Darius was just stressed out all night and went out early in the morning. Daniel, did the Lord your God save you? Did he rescue you from that? And in Daniel 6:22, Daniel's speaking to King Darius. He's saying, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." It's pretty amazing what God did. He honored Daniel's boldness. He honored Daniel's sacrifice. He honored that Daniel was true to his word. And then in Daniel, I just love that the king respected Daniel. I was looking around, I'm like, why did he respect him so much? Verse 3. Daniel 6, verse 3 says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps with his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Here's what I learned from that. He served with excellence. He did his job at a great level. This is somebody that was literally taken from another place to serve this king, and he still served his master with excellence. This is something that's great, and I think is such an example. And so point number two, be great. Point number two, be great. I think there's no better way to be bold for God than to serve with excellence. Everything that we do, we're not doing for human masters. We're doing it for God. We're doing everything that we do for God. It's not about, you know, your boss and their, you know, mentality, or they're not giving you the respect or the honor you deserve. No. We're working for God. You know, when you're in school, you're getting good grades for God. When you're on your sports team, you're having a good attitude for God. When you're at work, you're doing your best for God. It doesn't matter what your coworkers are doing. No. I'm working for God. He is the one I do it for. And we got to be great. We got to do things with excellence. And another story in the scripture, again, is probably because I've just been reading all these Bible stories to my daughter, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you remember these guys, these also were great men that had such bold faith. These are some guys that, you know, there's a different king, King Nebuchadnezzar. He ended up making this golden idol. And he said, "Hey, everyone needs to bow down to this golden idol." And these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "Nope, we're not going to do it. We only worship our one true God. We cannot going to bow down to your God. We got to be true to our God." And so this king was going to throw them into the fiery furnace. And here's what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your mighty majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve the God or worship the image of gold you have set up." All right? They said, "Hey, our God is going to rescue us. We have bold enough faith to know that he is going to rescue us. But even if he does not, even if the report comes back positive, even if the relationship doesn't work out, even if this circumstance falls apart, even if I do not get what I need, even if the job offer fails, I will still worship you, my God, because you are faithful, you are good, and you are greatly to be praised. They had such a boldness. I want this type of boldness that these guys had. I want the type of boldness that doesn't buckle or break when things heat up, like the fiery furnace, like him and Daniel. And I started to realize, man, what's the outcome of this? And I love what it says in Daniel 6, 25 to 27. This is after King Darius brought Daniel back out of the lion's den, rescued him out of there. It says, then King Darius wrote to all nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. Basically, mass group texted the world. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth and has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Man, I love that. This is just incredible because literally Daniel's one act to say, I'm going to continue to be bold and worship my God, led to the entire known world at the time hearing about God and being instructed to worship him. Man, one man's act. That's incredible. And I came here because I believe that just like Daniel's actions impacted other people, my challenge to you is, what if you being bold in your faith was the difference in someone finding theirs? What if you being bold about your faith was the difference in someone else finding theirs? I believe that someone in your life is about to find their faith, and you're the person that's going to make that introduction to Jesus. You're the person that's going to invite them out next Tuesday for the river and say, hey, you need to come with me on Tuesday night. We're going to this place. You got to just come. You don't even need to tell them what it is. Just say, hey, we're going out to dinner. Come out to dinner with me. Go to dinner at 6. Get here for 7:30. All right? Make it easy. We got an after party right here. I believe that we can make such a difference. And here's point number 3. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. We're not meant to do life alone. We are not meant to go through this place alone. And Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need people in our life that we can encourage and that we can spur on. You know, I was at a wedding a couple months ago, and I got to officiate this wedding. It was a guy in my small group, and it was awesome. Love officiating weddings for people that are close to me. And so we ended up officiating the wedding, got to the reception afterwards. And mistake number 1 for the bride and groom, they gave our small group an entire table to ourselves, okay? That's just asking for trouble, okay? I got to run a Monday morning men's group. These are some driven guys, okay? We meet at 7 a.m. So you know you kind of got a little bit bolder guys here. Anyways, they give us this table. They're going through all the things. Okay, we're praying for the meal. You know, we're going to have this speech, this dance, etc. And then they start saying, okay, no clinging of the glasses. You guys know the clinging of the glasses? The couple kisses, right? So, okay, instead of the clinging of the glasses, we have this bell. Anytime you need the couple to kiss, you ring this bell. Man, I'm sitting beside one guy from my e-group. He leans over to me. I got to get my hand on that bell. I said, all right, sure. Next thing I know, this guy is just running up to the front. He's running all the way over, gets to the front, grabs the bell off the podium, starts ringing the thing. And he's ringing this bell. Couples kissing. All right, it's great. And I start to realize at this point, because he comes back all the way to the table, and I'm like, okay, that was great, Brad. You did the bell ringing thing. And I look down, and he puts the bell on the table. I'm like, how did you get the bell back here? But I said, you know what? My role at this wedding has changed. I am no longer the officiant. I'm the CEO, the chief encouragement officer. I'm just going to encourage him to ring this bell as many times as possible during the night. I'm just going to encourage the love. So a speech would end. I look over at Brad. I'm like, perfect time for the bell. He starts ringing that thing. It got to the end of the night. I just look over his direction. He starts ringing that bell. Now, he may have got chased by the maid of honor all the way across the reception hall and got the bell back, so it only lasted 3/4 of the way through. but we were encouraging one another on towards love and good deeds. And so we need some people in our life that can encourage us, some people in our life that can spur us on. And I started thinking back to this passage in Daniel, and I started thinking, hey, who did Daniel have in his corner? Obviously, he had God. You know, we all got God, but who did he have physically in his corner? And I found this verse in chapter 2, verse 17. It said, Daniel returned to his house and explained this matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Who are these guys? Who's Daniel's friends? Those are probably some pretty amazing guys if you're friends with Daniel. He's a pretty big deal. And I started to look at these guys, and I was like, I don't know if I recognize them or not. And I found out those are the Hebrew names. Their Babylonian names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm like, man, these guys were boys? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends. They actually knew each other. Some things started to make sense now, because I realized that all of these guys together were taken out of Jerusalem. When King Nebuchadnezzar was starting to build his kingdom, he gave some instructions at the start of Daniel. And it says that when he was trying to take these people out, he said that they're looking for young men out of the royal family and nobility without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. Basically, the most eligible bachelors of Jerusalem. He's like, go get them, bring them back to me. I want these to be the guys that will serve in my palace. And so these are where these guys came from. But they lost everything. They lost their family. They lost their wealth. They lost their positions. They lost their freedom. They lost everything that they had. You could say they were in a valley season. You know, we were talking about Job last week. We were in a valley season. They're in a season where they're thinking, about, we just lost everything. But I love that even in seasons like they went through, even in seasons like we find ourselves in sometimes where we feel like we don't know where to turn, we feel like everything's lost, we don't know what's happening, that God will, number one, be with us in that valley, but he'll also be so gracious to bring some people alongside us. He'll bring some people alongside us to be with us in that valley, and this is where they had one another in this valley, where when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in that fiery furnace, I'm sure they were thinking, Daniel's back home praying for us. He's in front of that window. He's praying on our behalf. Let's continue to just fight to get through this furnace. And God was faithful. And when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, I'm sure he was thinking, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through that fire. God rescued him. God can surely come through on my behalf. We need some people in our life that can encourage us. We need some people that can be around us, that can spur each other on. But I also believe that we need to be those people for people. We need to be the people that are going to go ahead and say, hey, I need to encourage you. I need to introduce you to Jesus. I need to be the one that's pointing you in the right direction. I need to be the one that's going to give you this invitation and say, hey, you need to come out to the river next Tuesday. It's going to be amazing. This is an opportunity to change your life. This place has changed my life. I can't even begin to explain. Tell them what God's done in your life. Tell them what God is doing in your life. Because like I said before, I believe being bold about your faith is going to make all the difference in someone finding theirs. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray. Jesus, thank you for this evening, this moment where we get to come together, where we get to be bold about our faith and say, God, that we're here tonight. But God, we're not leaving this moment tonight and just going back to tomorrow on a regular day. God, we're going back fired up, full of faith. God, embolden us with your spirit. God, illuminate those people in our life that need you. Those brothers and sisters, those coworkers, those friends of ours that are close to us but far from you, God. Let our heart yearn for them to know you like your heart yearns. God, we thank you. God, that next weekend, next Tuesday, God, this place is going to be more full because these people are being bold. They're making that invitation. And God, we're going to see you be faithful. We thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.